Discover the future of banking with Affinity Solutions, a pioneer in consumer purchase insights. Using cutting-edge analytics, Affinity Solutions analyzes payment data to craft exclusive deals for financial service consumers based on their spending patterns. Each transaction with Affinity becomes a step towards a deeper understanding of your customers, curating rewards that genuinely resonate. It's more than just banking. It's an evolution to intelligent, personalized commerce. Transform your financial interactions with Affinity Solutions.
What the stat specifically was that approximately 45% of new primary banking relationships are with these mega banks, even though they only account for about 20% of branches. That right there tells you that smaller banks are really not in a position to succeed long term.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Banking and Payments Show, a Behind the Numbers podcast from eMarketer, sponsored by Affinity Solutions. Today is October 3rd, solidly autumn now. I'm Rob Rubin, GM of Financial Services, and your host today. If you enjoy this podcast, please give us a five-star rating and subscribe. The title of today's episode is Banking Through the Storm, Adjusting Strategies. You get it? Ad, like advertising. Joining me today is Forecasting Director Oscar Orozco to talk about how banks are adjusting their ad spending given all the economic turmoil, a high-rate environment, and the shift to digital advertising. Hey, Oscar, how you doing today?
Hey, Rob, how are you? Happy to be on, finally. Yeah,
this is your first time on. I've wanted to have you on for a while. So given that it's your first time on, I'm going to ask you some quickfire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Sounds like a plan.
So where are you from?
So I'm a New Yorker.
All right.
I grew up in Queens, more specifically.
There you go. That's a direction for me. Mets, Yankees?
Definitely Mets, of course. No choice there.
Yeah. Giants, Jets?
You know, so weirdly enough, being kind of like a 90s kid, I grew up liking the 49ers.
All right.
There are a lot of fans in New York, by the way.
That's true.
But, I'm okay with the New York teams. You know, I want them to do well unless they're playing my team, of course.
Did you remember when the Giants beat the 49ers in a playoff and they just killed Joe Montana? They had a guy named Jim Burt who just crushed him.
You know, this actually might have been a little bit before my time, but I do remember the more recent Niners
Steve
wins.
Young, I'd make Joe Montana. That was the 80s, maybe.
It's a little bit more like a little tail end of Montana, Young, and then Young.
Yeah. All right. I got you. Well, that was fun. For today's episode, though, we don't want to talk about sports. We're going to focus on a report that we just published, which really is covering our forecasts for ad spending by U.S. banks and credit unions. And we have put a link in the show notes for folks. So, Oscar, before we get into the first segment, the headlines, I want to ask you a few questions about how we develop estimates for digital ad spending. For example, like what kind of inputs do you rely on for this kind of forecast?
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited about this forecast. I would actually add that it's our first ever forecast for banking, and lending is what the metric is. But in terms of our methodology, it's a very detailed approach. I mean, it really is. We're not just saying that, but we look at the market. It's kind of like a two-pronged approach, I always call it. It's from a bottoms-up approach where we look at publishers and DSPs and their revenue, that perspective, but also look at third-party estimates. So that's kind of the top-bottom where we look at estimates from agencies, which is usually advertiser spend data from tracking companies that look at data that's been spent by campaign, you know, other research firms, et cetera, et cetera. And we put that together to develop ours.
And how do you then model future spending? So you can model what they spent, but how do you model how it's going to go? What do you use there?
You know, it's an estimate, of course, but everything is built within our existing digital ad spending, you know, estimates that exist, our top line, our total market, right? So we piece everything together. And of course, it's all built within the most recent business developments that are happening and technology trends and macroeconomic conditions that are impacting the market. We build all of these things into our model and then kind of estimate out. Of course, as forecasters, we also look a lot into the past, what has happened 10, 15 years ago, because we do think that history repeats itself in many ways.
Do you revisit the forecasts? How frequently?
We absolutely do. It depends on the forecast. With this specific forecast, we historically have only updated it once a year, but have moved into updating it twice a year because of the popularity of it, and our clients really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you going through that with me, and I want to jump into our first segment, the headlines. where we chat about a top story as it relates to our episode. And for today, I want to talk about the headline of the report, which is how spending growth has slowed and how banks are focused squarely right now on maximizing their digital ad dollars and demonstrating performance. And when I read that conclusion in the report, what I think it means is that banks are going to continue to spend on performance marketing, search engine marketing things, pay for clicks, but cut back on brand marketing. Is this really going to be the case?
And that's what we believe, absolutely. So 100% agree with the theme of the report, the headline there. What we've seen, and I spoke about this earlier, is historically when budgets are down, there's less money to go around, that brands typically will lean much more into SEO campaigns, performance marketing, which is more targeted advertising, more measurability there, so they can prove ROI. So that's what we've seen in other tough economic times. I mean, we can go back just to the pandemic, for example, and I think with banks, we expect will be really in the low single digits this year for digital ad spending.
What was it last year? What was it between 21 and 22?
What we had for growth was only 1.5% year over year growth in digital ad spending, you know, just in 2022. And we expect a little bit of a bump, if you want to call it that, to 3.3% year over year growth this year. So a couple of tough years. Yeah.
But in 2021, then, was it much greater?
So in 2021, we tracked over double digit growth in digital ad spending, a big rebound off of what was also a pretty strong year in 2020, the pandemic year.
And do you estimate how much banks are going to spend on performance marketing versus traditional brand marketing? Do you make that distinction?
So we don't, unfortunately, have that specific breakout, but we can use a proxy, right? And I'll explain very briefly. We have breakouts for search and display as well as video, but just looking at that search and display number, you can kind of think of search as mainly the performance marketing display branding. What we find with financial services companies, so we don't have banking specifically, but financial services, they do over-index by about 2 percentage points over the general market on search. Okay, so 2 percentage points. So they do generally spend a bit more on search campaigns. So we estimate about 44% of all financial services companies' digital ad budgets go to search.
All right. So it's probably for some banks, the mix is going to be higher for
Absolutely.
Their total budget because they're going to cut back on the ads that are hard to attribute ROI.
Agreed. And I think we have the theory sort of that kind of community banks, regional banks, probably their budgets skew even more so toward these types of ads.
You know, there was a reference in the report of a campaign that Ally Bank did in partnership with TransUnion, where they were measuring the impact of top of funnel brand advertising on performance marketing results. And what they found is that when they had coverage at the top of the funnel to make people aware of the brand and the brand values, that their performance marketing campaigns perform better. In other words, when people who've seen those other ads were more likely to respond to the performance ads. I understand the need because you have the bottom line, you only have so much money to spend, but is cutting back on marketing, do you think that's a good move to cut back on the brand advertising if you're trying to sell to new customers?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think what we always sort of advise as much as we do is to not cut back, right? But the realities of many of banks' economic situations is that they have no options really. But we would say to advise to not cut back. I think in a time of economic turmoil, it should kind of be quite the opposite strategy, which is to spend more.
Right. Whenever there's an economic downturn, the people with the cash always do better because they can buy low.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a similar concept.
And we've seen that over and over. Yeah.
Just to sum up on the headlines, I feel like we are seeing this particular time of economic uncertainty causing banks to pull back on not all advertising, but really the advertising that is hard to attribute to ROI. And we'll see how that plays out. And we're going to cover it a little bit more in our next segment, Story by Numbers, where we pick a number or two that helps us dig deeper into the episode's topic. So for today, I picked two numbers from that report that really stood out to me. And the first one was 56%, which is getting right to what we were just talking about. 56% is the year-over-year decline in mortgage origination. So mortgage rates, as a result of the Fed each quarter raising rates, is now up, I think, at like 7%. For a mortgage rate, whereas a few years ago, it was as low as like 3%. So fewer mortgages is a big hit on banks' net interest income. They're just not getting the income that they got. And obviously, as we've just pointed out, that puts a lot of pressure on their marketing budgets because they use the income to pay for the marketing. And it's especially true because the inventory of mortgage buyers is low, because people that own homes that might want to upgrade their home are less likely to be in the market. Mm-hmm. So is that, like, when you look at forecasting spend, is that a big part of your input, is to try to understand the economic pressures of the companies who are the advertisers?
Absolutely. I mean, we're reading into earnings calls, looking to understand what exactly the pressures are on the big players that represent these industries, these verticals. So that plays a lot into it. And we know, I mean, it's facts, right? Prices have remained high right now with homes, and sales have remained low, and it's just kind of a mess overall. And there's no doubt at all that their sort of budgets are being completely impacted by this. So I think overall, slow economic activity, there's also kind of less of an incentive or a reason to create these ads. And that's something that we've also tracked across the last 8 months.
What do you mean by that? There's less reason to create them?
Yeah, well, there's less reason. And there was a couple of quotes, even insurance companies. You know, again, we have to keep in mind that it's impacting financial services overall.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But just that we are keeping our marketing budgets in line with revenue growth. And revenue growth is not very high right now. And we can't justify going above that. So just less of an incentive to spend, essentially. Even though, as we said earlier, it probably should be the opposite strategy.
Well, that really brings us to our second number, which is 52%. And 52% is Ally Bank's increase in ad spend. Have you seen other big institutions actually take the approach that you were just saying, which is to double down and spend more?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag. I mean, as you mentioned, Ally Bank spend, and I believe this was a 2022 figure, was high. Now, if I were to show you some of the figures from travel and retail companies in triple digits, things like that, right? It does put into perspective how the banking industry is quite weaker, huh? For example, Capital One was up, I believe, there. And this also includes marketing budgets.
Yep.
Sometimes it's what they report as well. So keep that in mind. But up 40%, JP Morgan 30%. But you see other ones like Wells Fargo, they were down 16%, right?
All right.
Bank of America was down 6%. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. I think we have to consider that.
So do you think, though, that in general, the bigger banks are either continuing their spend or increasing their spend? I mean, Wells Fargo was a decline, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wells Fargo and Bank of America. But I would say, generally speaking, yes, these are the guys that are keeping the industry afloat. Let's put it that way, right? Where we're not registering declines. I think it very much is coming disproportionately from these larger banks.
So I think in the report it said that banks account for 24% of overall digital ad spend within the financial services sector.
Exactly, within the financial services, yeah.
If their spend is in the low threes, their growth rate is in the low threes for all banks, and some of the big banks are still spending or even spending more, isn't it likely then that some of the smaller and regional banks have just stopped spending completely or almost completely?
I think it's easy to make that jump, and it's a small jump. I think you can say for sure that if they haven't stopped completely, that we've seen budgets slashed by 50, 60, 70% or even more across the board. And this is with regional, you know, the community banks, and that's dragging down the number for sure.
So it just seems like the small banks are at such a disadvantage in terms of reaching consumers online compared to the big banks that nobody noticed that they cut.
It's not as noticed, absolutely. I mean, I think over time, it might really have an impact. If we zoom out and look at banking as an industry and we think of ad budgets, it will end up having some sort of impact. We talked about, and I think you have on the program, about M&As, right? And how that keeps accelerating over time. And yes, we're talking of present day, it becomes less and less noticeable, of course.
I think we're just doing a great job segueing into the next conversation because what we were just talking about here are the challenges that banks, and particularly the regional and community banks and credit unions, have in that for lending products in particular, the market of potential customers is smaller. And when they are getting less revenue and less net interest income, they can't spend as much on marketing. So it sort of becomes a vicious circle. What I want to do now in our last segment, for argument's sake, is to argue nicely to New Yorkers.
We'll try.
We're going to do the best we can. about whether the current state where the big banks are sort of able to continue with their digital ad spend and even increase their ad spend, and the smaller institutions have to cut their budgets, is it just another nail in the coffin for smaller traditional banking institutions? And I'm going to say that in a previous episode, I made this prediction. We'll find out. But I basically said within 5 years, there will only be 500 banks in the United States compared to today. And I don't know what the number is, but it's probably over 7,000 between banks and credit unions.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So I don't see how all of those institutions with their aging customer bases are going to acquire new customers who are sort of digital natives, for example. I see all the problems that they would have to being able to do that and the scale that it's required to deliver really great digital experiences. So I want to ask, do you see this as something which is just a nail in the coffin, or do you think that smaller banks can continue to thrive?
I agree with you. It's a complicated question. I do think that there's a place for community banks, for regional banks and different communities, the importance of the personalization that they can provide or even what the services they provide a lot of the times for small businesses, things like this. But it just feels harder to imagine a world where we don't reach those numbers that you said in 10 years we would, where more mergers and acquisitions and just a shrinking base of banks, right? I saw an interesting stat. It was from a McKinsey report. McKinsey produces great research, yeah. Right? But they talked about banks having to have a strong share of voice and how that really determines a lot. The way they defined strong share of voice was really having superior marketing budgets, right? Being able to compete on that end. And what the stat specifically was that approximately 45% of new primary banking relationships are with these mega banks, even though they only account for about 20% of branches. That right there tells you that smaller banks are really not in a position to succeed long term.
But, you know, I know that some of the, and particularly the big banks, they're very careful about where their branches actually are. Mm-hmm. So they focus, and I'm going to take this term. It was coined by a company that's now Curinos, but they talk about billboard value. So they talk about how a well-located branch has strong billboard value in a market. And a good example of that is Capital One with their cafes, where they can put a cafe in a central location. And without technically being a depository institution, it's a sales branch, really. They don't take deposits at these branches. Mm-hmm. And they're able to, in some markets, I think Boston's a good example, they're able to get material share deposits without having physical branches by putting those sort of cafes. But those cafes are really just giant billboards, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's really what it is. I mean, it makes me think also of kind of these luxury retail brands and a lot of how their stores, the purpose they serve in areas that are high traffic and people walk through. But it's that, you know, it's that. And I think increasingly the surviving smaller banks, they might not need to invest on paid media as much. It could be just word of mouth.
Right. They focus on earned media and they focus on their own media.
Exactly. Precisely that. You also mentioned the digitally native, the demographic story. And we've seen surveys over the years that just indicate that, and this could change, you know, young people are very impressionable, but that there is maybe a bit more comfort with the strictly fintech type of apps that allow for banking. Or on the other end of the spectrum, it's the large mega banks, right? So we're seeing that as well.
I see that part of banking and with younger consumers where the banking experience or the financial transaction is very embedded in the experience that they're doing at the time. So I think when they start to incorporate payment capabilities like in cars and all that, I think that that's really where you're going to see young consumers just naturally, you know, why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I have Gen Zers as children and to see what kind of brands that appeal to them and their interest in sort of banking overall, they don't really think about it in the same ways that I used to think about it. You know, I needed to get a checking account pretty quickly so that I could have my own access to money.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was kind of the local bank. What's closest? And does the rest of your family have a relationship?
Was it Astoria?
I believe it was Sovereign Bank was the original name. And then it became Santander.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there
you
go.
Just because you said you were from Queens. So I was...
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those. A lot of credit unions as well. But, you know, that's a really good point. Really good point.
And it used to be that, and I think it's probably still the case, that a lot of kids end up banking where their parents bank. And this is a strategy for a lot of banks. And maybe this is an argument for how small banks survive. And it's not on how they advertise, but it's how they try to make sure that they offer really good teen solutions and child accounts that parents can start to get their kids involved and connected and then offer a path. And that's probably the best way forward.
And that's the advantage these large banks have, which is a long list, but it's definitely moving in the direction of advanced technologies and the mobile apps, innovative tools for things like financial assistance. That just puts them at an unfair advantage. I was going to mention a quick thing as well. You know, we think of banking as being such a regulated industry, of course.
Yeah.
And when we think of digital advertising, it comes back to data security, right? And I think that's just another place where the large banks are largely set up to succeed, right? They have these really developed compliance-led organizations, and they're just ahead of the curve from where smaller banks with, you know, smaller pocketbooks are going to be able to be. So that also allows for, on the ad side, for more investment on digital advertising.
Right. And we learned from a previous episode the ability to tag and target people with credit marketing products without giving them a firm credit offer is a compliance dance. I don't know. It's something that you have to really be careful with. And probably the larger institutions are the ones that are more sophisticated in digital marketing, probably have a better handle on how to do that and are therefore willing to do it versus a smaller institution that couldn't afford the fine if they made a big mistake.
Exactly.
Well, I think we've done it.
I can't believe we went on for a while.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And we have to have you on all the time because this was really great. I want to thank Oscar. I want to thank you for coming on the show. That was awesome.
Thank you, Rob. No, thanks for having me. Totally holding you to that. Hope I'm back on soon.
Yeah. I want to thank everyone for listening to the Banking and Payment Show, an eMarketer podcast sponsored by Affinity Solutions. Also, thank you to our editor, Todd. In today's episode, we reference a report that we published on bank ad spending, and we've included a link in the show notes. Our next episode is on October 17th, so be sure to check it out, and we will see you then. Again, Oscar, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.